My guest at this time is Iowa Republican Congressman Steve King. He represents the Hawkeyes' 4th Congressional District and sits on the House Judiciary Committee. He has also joined us many times to talk about his grave concerns over Senate passage and House consideration of passing comprehensive immigration reform that includes what he would consider amnesty. Just a couple of days ago, at the end of last week, House Speaker John Boehner delivered what is most likely pretty reassuring news to King and his allies on this issue when the speaker said this.
I never underestimated the difficulty in moving forward this year. And frankly, one of the biggest obstacles we face is the one of trust. And there's widespread doubt about whether this administration can be trusted to enforce our laws. And it's going to be difficult to move any immigration legislation until that changes.
And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us today.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Greg.
Well, it's just a few days before that, at the Republican retreat in Maryland, that Boehner and other House Republican leaders unveiled the principles for immigration reform. It included legalization, but not necessarily citizenship, a robust guest worker program, border enforcement, and there seemed to be some urgency into doing it at the time. And then several days later, we got that statement from the speaker. So what happened with the members at that retreat or at some other point to change the talking points on this?
Well, there was a large network of members there in that closed-door session that even though they were called upon to act quickly, because this document, which is the speaker's principles on immigration, was handed out to us at the beginning of the discussion, and you know, we didn't have a chance to examine the document or look at it or edit it or make our contributions to it. It was, these are the principles we want to live by, and we don't want to talk about the immigration outside of this. We just want to talk about this document. Well, I had read the document thoroughly through and when the meeting started, because my staff had picked it up from a left-wing website, and it was out there in the left-wing side, but not to the conservatives, not to our border security people. But member after member stood up to the microphone and said, "We don't need to move on this. We can't trust the president." Some of them said, and a very few of them said, I agree with your principles, but we shouldn't move now. It would be this, that I put out my estimate that 3-4-1 inside that conference stood up to the microphone and opposed going forward on immigration. Most of them understand that if we legalize people that are here, it is amnesty, that it does great damage to the rule of law, that there's no upside in it for Americans and certainly no upside in it for Republicans. And so as this soaks in and sinks in, that's what the rejection was that day. And even though we came out of Cambridge in the retreat with the leadership's message to the press was that generally the principles were accepted by the conference, that didn't really hold up. By the time the next week had rolled around, you could see the writing on the wall, and that's what brought about the statement, I believe, Greg.
So do you get the sense that the speaker agreed with the notion that the president simply can't be trusted, or could he just count votes and realize whether I push this or not this year, I can't get it through my own conference?
Well, I'd been making the argument for 2.5 years that the president can't be trusted, at least on immigration. He's violated his constitutional oath and the law multiple times. And so I would think that if the speaker had come to that conclusion, it's not the first time that he'd heard that argument, but I think it was instead counting votes, not so much changing his conviction. He just knows that at this point, at least, he can't go forward with what he wants to do, which is, and by the way, this document, when you lay it down and you go through the more than 1,000 pages of the Senate Gang of Eight amnesty bill, this document encompasses the Gang of Eight amnesty bill. It would comply with this document, with the exception of perhaps blatantly promising the path to citizenship. That might be the only thing. But that tells you how far this document goes. It's wide open. It's broad. And there's a reason that the left-wing websites had it before the members of Congress had it.
The president, of course, has raised great frustration on the Republican side due to his unilateral adjusting of the law on Obamacare in a number of ways, to the DREAM Act that he imposed in some ways unilaterally. Do you get the sense that the speaker's statement is in effect for the rest of the Obama presidency? Is it something that potentially he believes that the president could build trust on? How do you think the leadership sees it, and how do you see it?
Well, I know that listening to the speaker's statement that you've run at the beginning of this clip, he leaves room for trust to be rebuilt with the president. The minute I heard that, I draw a different conclusion, which is Once you lose that trust, to restore that's just very close to an impossibility. And I don't know why anyone would think that a president has, who has over and over again simply trampled over the Article One, the legislative branch of government, and that's Congress, and waved his ink pen at us and said that he'll run the country if we don't do what he tells us to do. I don't know why anybody would trust a president like that to essentially change his spots afterwards. So I don't think that's going to happen. But there are those who hold out some hope that this could be an issue that could be taken up in 2015. If trust is the issue, I don't think it can be restored. And from where I stand, though, we should look, examine the policy underneath it. We have a country that we have now over 100 million Americans who are of working age that are not in the workforce. And you would think that if you need an employee, you could find one out of 101 million. But instead, this document and some of the people in the Republican Conference think we should reach across and bring in tens of millions of people to do the work that they say Americans won't do. 80 different means-tested welfare programs actually are what's convincing Americans not to do that work, not because they think it's beneath their dignity, and no work should be beneath anybody's dignity. So we've got a big argument to carry forward here, a philosophical one. But in the center of this thing, Greg, is the rule of law. If we are a nation that simply sacrifices the rule of law for a misguided political gain, we can never restore that rule of law again, at least with regard to immigration, within the lifetime of this republic.
What do you think the impact would have been on Republicans in this midterm election year if, in fact, the House Republicans had gone along with these principles or something close to it?
I would subscribe to the statement that was made by Scott Rasmussen, one of the lead pollsters in the country. He knows a lot about America. And he said on Wednesday morning, I had him as a guest speaker for breakfast here before the Conservative Opportunity Society, and he said, I can't think, speaking of immigration and Republicans taking it up, he said, I can't think of a stupider thing for your conference to take up, close quote. I agree with that. It allows the president and his party to split Republicans. When President Obama gave his speech from Hawaii in over Christmas vacation, chastised Congress for going home to our families over Christmas. From Hawaii, he said we should have stayed in Washington, D.C., and he brought up three topics that are his agenda for 2014. One of them was increase the minimum wage. Another was extend unemployment benefits. The third one was comprehensive immigration reform, Gang of Eight's bill, which he's endorsed. Those three items have something in common. Each of them unify Democrats and divide Republicans. That's the tactic. That's why he has a priority, because he wants to take our minds off of Obamacare and get Republicans fighting amongst themselves.
We're talking with Iowa Republican Congressman Steve King. And Congressman, key figure, of course, in the Senate debate was New York Senator Chuck Schumer. And he's been kind of interesting to watch as the House wrestles with what to do here. One of the things that the House Republican leadership said from the get-go is we're going to do this piece by piece. Senator Schumer seemed to say no problem. Now, of course, Speaker Boehner is saying we can't trust the president, so this isn't going to be an urgent, timely priority. Schumer says, hey, no rush. Whenever we get around to it, we get around to it. What do you make of his public strategizing here?
Well, yes, and I saw the statement that he made that we need to pass some kind of comprehensive immigration reform now and then have it enacted after President Obama leaves office. I thought that was a pretty blatant and bold challenge that he put out. And, you know, we should smile and take it for what it is, another political ploy. And we have the president that's now floating a trial balloon on whether he would delay the implementation of Obamacare until after he leaves office. And that's something that will be consuming some of our future discussions. But this is another one of those similar proposals. In other words, if the president can't be trusted to follow the laws that he has taken an oath to follow, and in fact, if the president can't be trusted to even abide by the laws that have his name on them, that have his signature on them, then if you don't trust him, go ahead and pass these laws and we can enact them after he's gone from office. That's got to be a new concept in all the annals of American history.
Last question. Now that this appears to be off the front burner for House Republicans, what would you like to see the House focus on the rest of the year?
Well, the rest of the year, we need to keep on top of the Obamacare situation every week, sometimes even every day. There's news that comes out about that. This is going to be hammered out over the next 2 or 3 years, and the die won't be cast until we elect the next president, and perhaps even after that. So we need to stay on top of Obamacare and offer some changes. The debt ceiling is at us now, and the reluctance on the part of the Republican conference brings us to this point of, if we're going to extend the debt ceiling or put a vote out on the floor to do so, then there needs to be something in exchange for that. And first thing that I would do would be attach the risk corridors language to it, the bailout of the insurance companies on Obamacare, and eliminate that section in Obamacare legislation in exchange for raising the debt ceiling. The most important part about a debt ceiling debate is we should not extend it, extend the debt ceiling for a year. It should be a short period of time, probably less than 3 months at a time, so that we have some leverage in Congress that to control a president who has shown a bad habit of getting out of bounds. And if this House, even if by a Democrat majority vote, be what it would take to extend the debt ceiling for, say, a year, then that means there's no leverage point between now and the election, and I think that would be a tactical error.
We'll certainly be watching that debate. Could only be a number of days away. Congressman, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks a lot for having me on, Craig.
You bet, sir. Iowa Republican Congressman Steve King represents his state's 4th Congressional District, member of the House Judiciary Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.